want to take just a minute to introduce our speaker for the morning. When the English Language Worship Ministry began planning several months ago for Martin Luther King Sunday, we struck on the idea of having a guest preacher, someone who could come in and represent the issues and the times. And we thought of a lot of good experts we could think of inviting, but most of them were people that had no experience with the movement itself, especially in Chicago. And we decided we didn't want to bring in an expert who wasn't actually there. So we decided to bring in an expert who actually was there, our own Dr. Peggy Griffin. Peggy has a doctorate in education, a seminary degree. She is a lifelong advocate for training children and all of us to be people of justice, people of mercy. She was involved with the civil rights movement. She was in Selma, and she was here in Chicago raising money and organizing and helping to lead people and train people. And so it is my deep honor to welcome her to our pulpit this morning. After the anthem, you will hear her testimony, her sermon for us today.
Revolutionary greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge the presence of my friends and family who came to support me. Thank you. And I want to ask everybody, if you'll participate in this message, the first thing I want to ask you to do is to just take a deep breath and then release it. And as you are exhaling, think on the fact that only God gave you that breath. No human being could give you that breath. Our parents gave us birth, but they couldn't give us breath. No rich man, poor man, no one of any class or culture could give you that breath. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and mission was based on the belief that God, the giver of life, is supreme and above the boundaries set by human beings. He led the campaign of nonviolent resistance in the United States, adopting the philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi. King embraced the concept of satyagraha. And I brought a picket sign because that's so much part of the civil rights movement. And it has the words satyagraha, which means love force or truth force. The first part, satya, means truth to the point of love. And the second part, graha, means force. So together it is satya, graha, love, truth, force. And we'll do a little demonstration for you. This part was unplanned. We just thought of this a minute ago. So sing along with me. I'm going to sing a song that we used to sing a lot in the movement. Reverend Andrew Young used to sing this song all the time. I love everybody. I love everybody. I love everybody in my heart. I love everybody. I love everybody. I love everybody in my heart. And maybe we'll just put this right here. Stay there. King embraced the concept of satyagraha, and he explained that Gandhi lifted the love ethic above personal interaction to the social collective transformation. I will add here that I was also fortunate enough to travel to India. I visited Gandhi's home and saw his last worldly possessions. I too embrace satyagraha. Love is a force because God is love. 1 John 4:18 tells us that perfect love casts out fear. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And Reverend James Bevel, who was a strategist in the movement, said, no one can steal truth. As a student at Andover Newton Theological School, I dropped my studies and headed for Selma after hearing about the brutal murder of Reverend James Reeb. I knew Reverend Reeb. He was involved in the Boston movement and visited the center where I was doing field work. I felt that if James Reeb gave his life, why should I hold on to mine? When I went to Selma, the faith of the people was so strong that it made me strong. One could feel an electricity that penetrated through the demonstrators, through their hearts, from one heart to the other. Now, I do not profess to be a brave person. I was rather shy and cautious. I still am in many ways. But I caught the brave spirit from the residents of Selma. I was ready to face a bear, a lion, a billy club, or a bullet. I felt a kinship with the citizens of Selma because of my childhood experiences in Central Appalachia. Our church was nicknamed the Bama Church because most African Americans had migrated to the area from the state of Alabama and joined the First Baptist Church Colored, the name of it at that time. In doing research, I learned that after slavery, people were given a train ticket and $25 to go to the mountains and work in the coal mines. So many of the residents of this church were from Selma, Alabama. I already had a relationship there. I think it is important that we review the teachings of Martin Luther King today because so many people are searching for answers for the troubling circumstances of the time. We can see a rise in hate crimes and political deception. In his book, Strength to Love, King addressed this issue in chapter 15, titled, The Answer to a Perplexing Question. The question that was posed was, how can evil be cast out? He explained that the solution does not come from human beings, and it does not come from God alone. Instead, the solution, in his words, is rather both man and God, made one in a marvelous unity of purpose through an overflowing love as the free receptivity on the part of man. It can transform the old into the new and drive out the deadly cancer of sin. We often want to fix things ourselves as if the self-fix-it kit will solve all problems. The other extreme is that we wait for God to fix it. The love way is the unity of God's Spirit and the acceptance of mankind. The movement of the 60s was based on the principle of non-cooperation with an evil system and the belief that evil destroys itself. Citizens boycotted businesses that practiced discrimination. They employed non-violent direct action by confronting establishments that denied everyone their rights. People endured jailings, beatings, and even loss of life. But this brought international attention to the plight of African Americans in the United States, and subsequently, the institution of more humane policies. The dynamics of nonviolence is akin to some of the martial arts tactics, where one diverts the energy of the opponent, causing that person to defeat himself or herself. The goal is not to harm the enemy, but instead to defeat one's own fears, doubts, and negative feelings. It is a battle of spirits in the belief that good ultimately triumphs over evil. When we remove the evil forces from ourselves, we have an advantage over an opponent. Death does not triumph over satyagraha. The spirit of Martin Luther King is still alive. His philosophy is known around the world, and resistance movements are worldwide. And I just heard that there was a recent report that his name at the present time is above all names in American history. King could be considered the general and the nonviolent army. He knew that his daring do would require ultimate sacrifice and sensed that his life would end early. He prepared for his transition from this life by giving directives on February 28, 1968, in a sermon in Ebenezer Baptist Church. The title of that sermon was The Drum Major Instinct. He summarized his life achievements and spoke of the way he wished to be remembered. He recounted his love for people, being right on the war question, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison, and serving humanity. He then stated, "Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness." As one who marched behind the drum major, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I can say that my life has been richly blessed. I feel very fortunate to have walked and talked with MLK. I first met him and his wife, Coretta Scott King, at 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury, Massachusetts. I joined the church searching around, new in the area, and decided to join that church, had no idea of the connections that were there. Martin Luther King had been an associate minister there while he studied at Boston University. And then I was entering Boston University as a freshman. He came to our church on his way to receive his honors at Boston University. In so many ways, I was walking in their path. I met Martin's first Sunday school teacher, who had moved from Atlanta to Boston and was a member of the church. I also met the woman who introduced him to his wife, Coretta. These ladies became my friends and were as mothers to me. It also happened that I lived in the same dormitory where Coretta had lived when they were courting. I was in the presence of King on many occasions thereafter, such as rallies in Boston and the March on Washington in 1963, where I was a bus captain. I can remember singing freedom songs all night long on the bus. It was marching behind the drum major that brought me to Chicago in summer of 1966 during the open housing demonstrations. I worked in Project Spectrum with the YMCA and YWCA, where we studied community organizing. One of our trainers was the Reverend Dr. Walter Slim Coleman, who will be speaking this afternoon. At that time, he was a tall, thin gentleman called Slim. Just everybody called him Slim. This was prior to his matriculation into the ministry and his becoming a pastor. I was in the center of the march at Marquette Park, where Dr. King was struck by a rock, and I myself was hit by a small pebble. The men protected the ladies. We were in the middle, so they got all the hard blows, but we got the soft blows. A few weeks later, I had an opportunity to speak to Dr. King and introduce him to some college students that I was supervising in Project Spectrum. I reminded him that I had worked with the Boston movement. He looked at me and smiled and said, "Yes, you helped raise $160,000. I was amazed that in all of his travels, he could recall how much money a certain area had given. Now, what was happening at North Shore Baptist Church during this time? According to the records, Pastor William Myers urged members to attend the Illinois Rally for Civil Rights at Soldier Field, led by Dr. King, on June 21st, 1964. In 1966, I was present at another rally at Soldier Field led by Dr. King. I possibly was in the company of some North Shore members at that time. Dr. Myers led the congregation in the direction of serving the community. He stated, "North Shore has the unusual gift of accepting people as they are for what they are." I want to repeat that. North Shore has the unusual gift of accepting people as they are for what they are. During the 60s, Chicago experienced what was called white flight from the city to the suburbs. So I want to commend the members here at North Shore because you did not run. You stayed and worked to solve problems. In 1986, ECRA, Edgewater Clergy Rabbi Association, celebrated the first official Martin Luther King Day at North Shore Baptist Church in 1985. So someone set the precedent for this day. Our church was one of the founding members of Care for Real. It feeds and clothes people. North Shore still maintains the tradition of reaching out to the community, feeding and clothing the needy, housing active youth programs, supporting a homeless shelter, relating to other denominations and religions, contributing to the success of other meaningful projects in Chicago and around the country, and supporting missionaries in many countries around the world. Now, how do I know this? I have only been a member of North Shore Baptist for 3.5 years. I'm grateful for the archives that have been preserved through the work of John Howell Dawson and David R. Filer. Thanks, David. In closing, I want to encourage all of us to delve deeper into the treasure of literature that Martin Luther King Jr. left for us. He gave an educational plan in the book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? He outlined a socioeconomic plan in Why We Can't Wait, and also a socioeconomic plan in his last public address, I Can See the Promised Land, which is commonly called the Mountaintop Speech. I will have these books on display. I just wanted to stop and just say this. I taught adult literacy classes for many years, and I had a group of ministers who actually could not read and write. They learned to read and write in my class, and we read the Mountaintop Speech every day because it just gave them so much courage, and they learned to be very good readers and speakers just from doing that Mountaintop Speech every day. I want to say that this is a teach-in, and I will be having a display of King's books and my collection of civil rights buttons at lunch, and I'm going to ask you just to hang around with us. This is also a love-in, because Martin Luther King Jr. was about love. We're going to hear about the letter from the Birmingham jail by our own Pastor David after the coffee hour. And so I want to be here for all of this and programs, and I think there's going to be a sing-spiration and workshops, and Dr. Coleman will be coming, so I plan to be here all day and ask you if you can to try to be with us. Satyagraha, love force, or truth force, gives us freedom. The truth makes us free. So please join me in a little chant. And this song only has one word, and that one word is freedom. Will you just say the word freedom? Let me hear you say it. Just say freedom.
Freedom.
And the tune of it goes like this. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sing it over. Freedom, 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 freedom. A little louder. Freedom, 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 freedom. Now sing it softly and just meditate on it. Freedom, 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 freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.